from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news, first the headlines. Foreign tourist spending in Indonesia reaches $1,500. Pope Francis Asia Tour starts in Indonesia. Now the news in detail. Sandiaga Uno, Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, said the average expenditure of foreign tourists while traveling in Indonesia in 2024 reached $1,500 per visit. On the sidelines of the first International Conference on Tourism Quality in Sanur Denpasar, Bali, Friday, he conveyed that the amount was about 50% higher than the time before the COVID-19 pandemic. Sandiaga Uno explained that the increase in foreign tourist spending was achieved through a focus on developing 3S, namely serenity, spiritual, and sustainability. Regarding the number of foreign tourist visits, Sandiaga Uno estimates that up to August the number will reach 13 million. He further added the government's target of foreign tourist visit in Indonesia in 2024 is 17 million people, with 7 million of which are expected to be contributed through Bali. Pope Franciscus will begin his apostolic tour to a number of countries in Asia-Pacific, especially Southeast Asia, with Indonesia as the first country visited. Pope Franciscus will spend 12 days visiting Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Timor-Leste, and Singapore starting September the 3rd. He will arrive in Indonesia on Tuesday and scheduled to meet President Joko Widodo at the Jakarta Presidential Palace on Wednesday, September the 4th. In addition, the Pope will also visit the Cathedral Church and the Istiqlal Mosque. The Pope will meet with representatives of Indonesia's six official religions and denominations, namely Muslims, Protestants, Catholics, Buddhists, Hindus, and Confucianists, at the Istiqlal Mosque on Thursday. On the same day, the Pope will also lead a mass attended by more than 18,000 Catholics at the Gelora Bung Karno Stadium in Jakarta. The second Indonesia-Africa Forum, IAF, will be an entry point for Indonesian business people to establish strategic cooperation in African countries. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in a press release in Jakarta on Friday, August the 30th, stated that the forum, titled Bandung Spirit for Africa's Agenda 2063, will take place in Bali from September the 1st until 3rd by inviting representatives from 54 African countries. The forum was held to optimize the potential for business transactions between the two regions. It will also hold a business exhibition on September the 2nd and 3rd, which will feature four leading sectors, namely energy, food, and consumer goods. strategic industry, and defense and health. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs also mentioned at least 103 companies and 139 business people from Africa and 350 Indonesian business people will participate in the event. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno has said one of the big goals of Indonesia's creative economy development is to realize an increasingly inclusive creative economy ecosystem. Sandiaga Uno, in his statement in Jakarta Friday, emphasized the creative economy has become a locomotive for economic development with a total contribution of 8% to the national gross domestic product. The number of jobs in this sector has also reached 25 million, even managed to pass the pre-pandemic figure. According to Sandiaga Uno, now the challenge is how this creative economy is also inclusive and can provide opportunities to improve welfare for women, young children, the elderly, and also people with disabilities. The American military said early Saturday that the U.S. military took part in an Iraqi raid in the country's western region that killed 15 people. Our forces targeted suspected militants from the Daesh group. 4 years after dislodging the militants from their self-declared caliphate across Iraq and Syria, U.S. forces have continued fighting the Daesh group, though the casualties from Friday's raid were higher than others in the time since. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky fired his Air Force commander Mykola Oleschuk on Friday, a day after the Air Force announced one of Ukraine's top pilots had died when a U.S.-made F-16 fighter jet crashed. As reported by CNN.com, yesterday, Zelensky further said the command level of the Air Force needed to strengthen, but did not say whether his decision was related to the F-16 crash on Monday. The Ukrainian leader said in his nightly address on Friday, he is infinitely grateful to all military pilots and everyone who really fights for Ukraine. Managing Director of Heineken Vietnam, Vieste Mutters, during a meeting with Vietnamese National Assembly Vice Chairman Nguyen Duc Hai in Hanoi on Friday, conveyed that Heineken will further invest in the Vietnamese market in the coming time. As reported by vovworld.vn, he thanked the Vietnamese legislature for its pro-business policies and expressed hope for continued supportive policies from Vietnamese ministries and agencies. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Makassar City, South Sulawesi. Makassar City, South Sulawesi, won the 2024 Southeast Asia or ASEAN Healthy City Award. Makassar Mayor Dani Pomanto said the World Health Organization WHO announced Makassar City as one of the cities that received Health City accreditation at the Southeast Asia level. Meanwhile, Regional Advisor for Health Promotion and Social Determinants of Health, WHO, Southeast Asia Regional Office, CRO, Sufaji Good said that Makassar City received the CR's Healthy City Network Award along with Waju Regency, also in Indonesia, Pune City, India, Adu City, Maldives, Dulikel City, Nepal, and Badulla City, Sri Lanka. He said this award was given after evaluating documents that were assessed directly by the Regional Urban Governance Laboratory for Health and Well-being at the University Chulalongkorn, Thailand. It is expected that every year the Makassar City government will improve the quality of public health and welfare to increase the level of the Southeast Asia Healthy City Network Award. Head of the Makassar Health Office, Nusaidah Sirajuddin, explained that there were several criteria that made Makassar win the award. One of the city government's efforts in realizing a healthy city is with the involvement of the community and the private sector through the Tourism Corridor Program. The next news comes from Agam Regency, West Sumatra. thousands of residents participated in the Tabek Panjang Nagari Art Show Festival in Baso District, Agam Regency, West Sumatra on Wednesday. The activity that took place on the momentum of the Indonesian Independence Day revived the old Minangkabau cultural traditions. Tabek Panjang Village Head or Wali Nagari Doni Suhendri said that this festival is the third art festival that displays the entire history of the old Minangkabau culture in Tabek Panjang so that it will continue to be known forever to the next generation. The festival, which took the theme Lighting Up in Culture, Together We Work, began with an allegorical parade involving thousands of local residents from all elements of society and institutions. Among the customs displayed are the traditions of mambubua, or diving, maanta pabukuan, or delivering food for breaking the fast, mancari ayam hilang, or looking for the lost chicken, namanggia anak daro, or calling the bride, maanta marapulai, or escorting the bride, and maanta cucu, escorting the grandchildren. In addition, ancient objects that are again displayed include the 200-year-old tingkula or headgear, gandang tigo or three drums, and others. The last item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Semarang, Central Jawa. Diponegoro University or UNDIP Semarang, in collaboration with the Australian Consulate General in Indonesia, launched the Aussie Banget or Very Aussie Corner or ABC at the Diponegoro University Library on the Tembalang campus. Vice Chancellor for Research, Innovation and Cooperation of the University, Wijayanto, in Semarang Wednesday appreciated the diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Australia that have historically existed for a long time. The launch of the ABC facilities was carried out by the Australian Embassy in Indonesia in collaboration with higher education institutions in Indonesia in order to celebrate 75 years of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Australia. The signing of the Memorandum of Understanding for the opening of the ABC facility at the university was carried out by Vice Chancellor Wijayanto with the Australian Consulate General in Surabaya, Steve Scott. Wijayanto hopes that the launch of the Aussie Banget Corner in several cities, including Semarang, will make cooperation between Indonesia and Australia even better and stronger. The ABC room is equipped with study room facilities and a mini library that is suitable for use as a student gathering or discussion forum. That was news from across Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event on August 31, 1957, when Malaysia gained independence from Britain. August 31, 1957 is an important day for Malaysia. Malaysia finally gained its independence from Britain. At that time, the name of the country was still Malaya. As quoted by the official website of the Malaysian government, the emergence of Tunku Abdul Rahman provided wisdom for the Malaya nationalist struggle. The association among three main tribes, namely Malays, Chinese, and Indians, resulted in the London Agreement, which was signed on February 8, 1956, and signaled that Malaya would achieve independence on August 31, 1957. The proclamation of independence was delivered by Tunku Abdul Rahman at Merdeka Stadium in Kuala Lumpur. The name Malaysia was actually only adopted in 1963 when the Federation of Malaya along with Sabah, Sarawak, and Singapore formed the Federation of Malaysia. Let's move on to Kyrgyzstan independence from the Soviet Union. Kyrgyzstan gained independence from the Soviet Union on August 31, 1991. Kyrgyzstan is a country located in landlocked and mountainous Central Asia, bordering Kazakhstan to the north, Uzbekistan to the west, Tajikistan to the southwest, and China to the east. Its capital and largest city is Bishkek. We end today in history with the event on the death of Lady Diana. Princess of Wales or Diana Frances Spencer died on August 31, 1997 in a car accident in Paris, France. Diana Spencer, who was born on July 1, 1961, was married by Prince Charles on July 29, 1981. 11 years of marriage, Diana and Charles decided to separate at the end of 1992. They officially divorced in August 1996. Princess Diana died in a car accident in Paris, France. She was reportedly still alive at the time and was rushed to the Petit-Salpêtrière Hospital. Initial reports stated Diana suffered a concussion, broken arms, and thighs. Diana was also reportedly seriously injured in the chest. After undergoing surgery for 2 hours, Diana's heart started beating again, but she died after hemorrhaging on August 31, 1997 at around 4:53 a.m. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Belum juga kau mengerti aku tak ada maksud menekan dirimu dengan penuh tanya. Maafkan sikapku hingga kau kecewa. Ku hanya tutupi dari rasa cemburu. Maafkan diriku, tak ada maksud menekan dirimu dengan penuh tanya. Maafkan sikapku hingga kau kecewa. Ku hanya tutupi dari rasa cemburu.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on electricity export to Singapore discussed in ISF. Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment stated that electricity export from Indonesia to Singapore is to be discussed in the 2024 International Sustainability Forum or ISF in the Jakarta Convention Center, Jakarta on September 5th and 6th. Deputy for Infrastructure and Transportation Coordination of the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Rahmat Kaimuddin, said the electricity export plan is still being processed and is expected to start in early 2028 or late 2027. In the 2024 International Sustainability Forum, there will be 10 cooperation agreements signed, including a memorandum of understanding regarding the granting of conditional licenses for electricity export to Singapore. Rahmat Kaimuddin estimated the value of this cooperation could reach billions of US dollars. He mentioned that there are several companies that are currently trying to get conditional approval from Singapore government to be involved in the electricity export. Furthermore, in the ISF 2024 event, a cooperation related to the carbon capture and storage of or CCS project will also be signed with Indonesian state-owned energy company Pertamina. This cooperation is part of Indonesia's efforts in encouraging environmental sustainability. Quoting the Antara report, Indonesia is ready to export 2 gigawatts of clean low-carbon electricity to Singapore. This agreement was marked by the signing of an MOU between several Indonesian and Singaporean companies, witnessed by Rahmat Kaimuddin and Singapore's Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Tan Sileng. Singapore's plans to import 4 gigawatts of low-carbon electricity by 2035, with half of the needs to be supplied from Indonesia. This memorandum of understanding confirms the long-term partnership between the two countries, especially in the development of clean energy and cross-border electricity trade. ISF 2024 is a meeting that brings together world leaders from various sectors and countries to exchange ideas, offer solutions, and share best practices in action climate. The International Sustainability Forum, or ISF 2024, will highlight 5 main pillars: green economy, energy transition, nature and biodiversity conservation, sustainable lifestyle, and marine economy. That was My Indonesia today.
Tentang arti hidup ini.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, is Nusa Tenggara always offers beautiful natural scenery, wonderful island and exotic beach that become an attraction for those who come to East Nusa Tenggara. One of the areas in East Nusa Tenggara that attract local and foreign tourists because it has many tourism attractions to visit is Sumba. Here, there is a Kanabu Wai waterfall, which can be said to be one of the most beautiful waterfall in Indonesia. Its location in the Matalawa National Park area makes this tourism destination even more special. Listener, Kanabu Wai Sumba waterfall is precisely located in Wai Kanabu Village, Tabundung Sub-District, East Sumba Regency, East Nusa Tenggara. The distance is approximately 130 km from Wai Ngapu, which is the capital of East Sumba. Kanabu Wai Sumba waterfall is very unique. The water seems to burst out of the cracks of the lush green leaf. At the bottom, the waterfall is stepped in shape that creates a charming view. Around Kanabu Wai, there is a natural pool that can be used by visitors to swim or just play in the water. Even if you don't want to play in the water, visitors can sit back and relax while enjoying the soothing view of the waterfall. Listener, although the location of this waterfall is indeed in Wai Kanabu Village, the closest access to get to this waterfall in Mahaniwa Village. There is no public transportation to get to the location of this tourism spot. One way to get to this tourism spot is by driving a personal vehicle. If departing from Mahaniwa Village, the journey still has to be continued for approximately 4 to 5 hours on foot. The journey to Kanabu Wai waterfall is indeed quite tiring. Therefore, usually those who come to visit this tourism spot always will really have a high adventurous spirit. Listener, the location of the Kanabu Wai waterfall tourism spot, which is far in the corner of this forest, make this waterfall have a very calm and peaceful atmosphere. During the trip, you will be treated by the lush forest so as to provide a cool atmosphere. To enter the Kanabu Wai waterfall tourism area is free of charge because this tourism spot is managed by the local government. There are no facilities here, but not far from the location of Kanabu Wai waterfall, tourists can visit stalls that sell various foods and beverage. For those who want to travel at the Kanabu Wai waterfall tourism spot for several days, you can rent lodging at various prices, which are located not far from the tourism spot. That's Indonesia Wonder for today edition. See you tomorrow.
Bila banyak masalah hidupmu, ku harap dirimu tak usah mengeluh. Percaya dan yakinkan dirimu, kau bisa mengubah keluh jadi senyum. Tak ada satupun manusia yang tak pernah disinggahi masalah. Mungkin inilah cara yang kuasa untuk jadikanmu lebih dari dewasa. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu. mampu, masih banyak yang lebih susah. Hidupnya senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu. Tak ada satupun manusia yang tak pernah disinggahi masalah. Mungkin inilah cara yang kuasa. Jadikanmu lebih dari dewasa. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu. Tunjukkan pada dunia bahwa kau mampu, masih banyak. Sulitmu ceritakan kembali pada dunia cara mengubah keluh jadi senyuman. Senyumlah, syukuri hidupmu. Tunjukkan pada dunia bahwa kau mampu, masih banyak yang lebih susah. Hidupnya
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany.
In today's Miscellany, Indonesian student teams wins overall championship at the 2024 IGO International Geography Olympiad. Listener, this weekend edition of Miscellany presents good news from the Indonesian team, which has just won overall championship at the 2024 International Geography Olympiad, or IGO, in Maynooth and Dublin, Ireland. In this prestigious competition, Indonesian students managed to collect 3 gold medals, 1 bronze medal, and also 1 second place in the poster competition. At IGO 2024, the Indonesian team's tough opponents came from Romania, Singapore, and many more. The The International Geography Olympiad, or IGO, is one of the 12th International Science Olympiad held annually. The event tests participants' ability to understand geographic spatial patterns and process through 3 test rounds. The brilliant achievement of Indonesian students repeat the success of Garuda delegation 5 years ago when they became overall champion at the IGO 2019 in Hong Kong. This year's the team achievement is the highest since Indonesia first participated in IGO in Kyoto, Japan in 2010. Head of the National Achievement Center, Maria Veronica Irene Hergiono, thanked the students who have brought Indonesia a good name on the international stage, as well as the coaches, school, and parents who have provided full support all this time. And that's Miscellany.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner is going to present a keroncong song entitled Pesona Solo or The Charm of Solo by Wening Damayanti. The song released on August 22, 2024 was created and produced by Jepang. In this song, Jepang also collaborated nicely with Indonesia's famous violinist Henry Lamiri. This collaboration makes this song so strong from various aspects. This seems to be one of the most serious keroncong genre songs in 2024. The song tells the story of Mr. Jepang's love for his homeland, Surakarta or Solo City in Central Java Province, Indonesia. A city that leaves many sad stories for the songwriter, a city full of charm with all the uniqueness and beauty that he always misses. Well, listener, here is Wening Damayanti and Mr. Jepang featuring Henry Lamiri with the keroncong song Pesona Solo.
Solo ku tak yang ku cintai. Solo
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Hi listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.